Welcome back to Unjaded, or welcome here if this is your first time. My next guest is Barb Orozco. Barb is a 3-5 emotional projector, and she works in an industry that she has completely disrupted over the last 24 years. She has just celebrated 24 years in business. So tune in to hear about all of the pivots and the twists and turns and the way that she is using her 3-5 profile, especially in her business. So welcome, Barb, to Unjaded. Thank you for being here.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. This is wonderful.
And this is not your first experience on the show. So if you are a little bit newer here, I'll link up Barb's last episode in the show notes for you, because she talked a lot about making decisions with her emotional authority. And I loved that episode, Barb, because it's something that a lot of people have a hard time really getting onto, is how to use that emotional authority in their design. Is that something that you feel like you're getting the hang of?
I feel like I'm getting the hang of it. I feel like I'm getting the hang of all of it. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like I'm getting so much of the hang of it that I could teach it.
Right.
But yes, I do feel like I'm getting the hang of it when I slow down enough to pay attention.
Okay. So you are a 3-5 emotional projector. Mm-hmm. What has been the biggest piece of your human design that's you think has caused you the most angst kind of getting a hold of? Just one.
Oh my, being a 3-5.
Okay. Because you know,
I could be a 2-4 and be very, and be very mellow and even and all of this. No, that's not who I am.
No,
I am 3-5. And so all of my life, you know, it has never been okay for me to make a mistake. To try things and have them not work, it's not okay, which is so weird because I know that that's important. And I let my kids make mistakes.
Yeah.
And I didn't judge it, you know, and I was really very aware of not being judgy and being very supportive of them. Yet with me, when I make a mistake, you know, I've shared this with you before, mm-hmm. when I make a mistake, which I need to be making as a 3.
Yes.
I need to feel comfortable enough to be trying things, have them not work out, and have that be okay. That didn't work out. This is what I got from it. Okay, let's move forward. But instead, until really, I would say, working with you, really starting with you January 2025, and because I didn't jump into design to profit until May, mm-hmm. but it started earlier. I mean, I knew your approach. I knew how you talked about things was very soothing and connecting. And so I started to evolve from I am the mistake into I'm making mistakes, and it's a good thing. So, and then 5, being a 5, it's like, why can I not just keep my mouth just, and because I have things to say, and I cannot stand by and watch things happen, hear things happen that I know are costing people connection with the people they care about, their own selves. You know, I mean, a really big story that I was reminded of a week and a half ago when I met a friend for lunch was, I mean, 20, I don't know how many years ago, 20, 25 years ago, when I was a birth doula, my friend Sydney's daughter, second child, saw me pregnant in a store and made some comment about my mommy can't have babies anymore. And I knew what was, and I knew who her doctor had been as a birth doula. I knew the inside scoop, and I knew what had happened to her mom was not something that should make her not be able to have babies anymore, because it had been maneuvered by the doctor. Anyway, it was like, Barb, be quiet. Don't say anything. Barb, say something. And so my friend reminded me that it was me bringing up the facts of the matter, giving her a specific book to read, And she went on to have three more kids after that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And so I have experiences like that. It's like, don't say anything, don't say anything, but I need to. And so in my business, I'm way past the don't say anything, I have to tell you. I am more than happy to stand on my soapbox.
So what is your soapbox in your business?
My soapbox is that this is going to sound very five-ish. Okay.
Bring it. We're here for it.
I realized on February 2nd, 2003, that I'd been scammed. That what I'd been told for 7 years about the what I'm supposed to do with my photos was a scam. I was told that I was supposed to be decorating with them. I was supposed to be scrapbooking. It was all about the decoration. And I honestly believed if I could just make myself create beautiful pages, that my family would know how much I love them just in my beautiful pages. And I could never make myself do it. I mean, literally, when I started my business 7 months before that, I'd never completed a page or an album ever. And I was determined to make myself do it, make myself do it. And then on February 2nd, 2003, I realized through a friend who put me through an experience, 60-second experience that I do with my clients now, right up front, I realized, wait a minute, decorating pages is certainly an option, but it's not the thing to do. That I took my parenting very seriously, and I'd been wasting the most amazing parenting tool for grabbing my kids' attention and then adding my stories to let them know that they were loved, that there was never a paper, a sticker, a page layout that would tell them they were loved and tell them the things they might need to know if they were struggling, except for my words. And that's the day that I learned it's about photos, but it's more about the stories. And so that's been my soapbox, that if you want to make a difference with your relationships, if you want to create connection, tangible connection that people that you care about can connect with when you may not even know they need it, use your storied photos. And don't ever decorate a minute in your life. It's not story first and then go ahead and decorate.
It's all about the story.
It's all about the story. And if you take time decorating, then you're now taking time away from what you could be storying on the next page or the next set or whatever. And what if your child, your spouse, what if you, those would have been the very words you needed to hear during who knows what? But you were decorating the page because that's what you thought you had to do.
Because people, I think, look at their photos and maybe they have a shoebox or a tote box or 10 tote boxes or whatever it is. And we do think, well, I need to organize these somehow. But you see the work that you do being actually used by children, by parents, by grandparents. How are they using their stories and their work, the work that you do with them?
They are literally first learning what storying is, which is not captions. It's writing enough on the page that you don't have to be there over someone's shoulder telling them about it. The page stands on its own. And then taking it further to learn how to use our words to, well, really strategically, to weave in those messages that I see you, I hear you, and who, not what you do, who you are matters. It's really kind of it's a Mr. Rogers. You see the it's a Mr. Rogers approach to album making. It really is.
And who are your feet?
And it's for no, I'm sorry. And it's for kids of all ages. I mean, if you have a 65-year-old kid, they need to hear it. No, I'm serious.
Probably
You're able.
especially need to hear
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
So who are
So
your
it's
favorite people to work with?
Oh, My favorite people to work with are those who come to me really believing, just as I did, that they must create decorative pages. That first they've got to get everything organized, everything, really before they even start. Mm-hmm. Everything must be organized. And then if they ever get started, it has to be decorated. It has to be decorated. And then watching the light just flash in their eyes when they realize all of that was conditioning.
Mm-hmm.
And any attempts that they made to do it and they failed were gifts.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't them. It was what they'd been told they were supposed to do. And when I just, you know, the minutia, all of it gets wiped away, and it's literally storied photos. And they're especially shocked when I say you don't even need the photos. The stories on the pages, that is huge. And we really call what we do. Anyway, you asked me a question. I got
go
off.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
We don't call them photo books or picture books. They're storybooks.
Mm.
So what we're creating are storybooks, you know, the books that a child might even want to read at bedtime, you know. So the type of people that I love working with are the ones that go, oh, my, this I can do. And then they do it, and they're determined, and they don't give up, and they know that there's work involved in it. It's a whole shift. Because of the conditioning,
mm-hmm.
it's a whole shift in our muscle memory. And they're willing to put the work in to make that shift.
Because the photos are never going to be organized when it comes down to it.
Yeah, the big thing is, even if, let's say tomorrow, all of those photos that you have were organized, all 20,000 or whatever it is, without the stories, there's really... Most of the time, no meaning with those photos. And kids don't want to inherit that. Yeah. They don't want to inherit physical boxes that they don't know what the importance was. And they don't want to inherit digital boxes of it. That's why I always say we work current. We start with the most, this is huge, what I'm about to say. We start with the most recent set of images. And in my world, a set is defined as one or more, the most recent set of images of media, because we work with videos too, via QR codes, the most that you care about, not the most recent set. Someone said to me, well, I don't want to get everything in my, well, of course you don't. Everything you take, you're not going to be interested in getting into pages, just that which matters.
Mm-hmm.
And the sooner, the gift you give yourself when you're working current is you've got those feelings and those stories right there. When we focus, because traditionally the photo and scrapbooking community says, start with your backlog.
Right.
Start at the very, very beginning of your backlog. The problem is everything you're taking right now becomes backlog.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're working with your backlog, you really can't remember the story. You can't remember enough of it. Let's put it this way. Yes, I can. I can hear someone saying, yes, I can. I can. But mm-hmm. I promise you, you cannot remember the things that will make your pages unthrowawayable and binge-worthy.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's just too far away.
Mm-hmm.
And so if, and this is another thing that can be shocking, if someone never gets to their backlog, and all they do is start current and stay current.
Mm.
It's a huge gift.
Mm-hmm.
Huge, huge gift. And as they're working current, if there are sets in the backlog that they can remember stories of to actually make it worthwhile, sure, that can be worked on while we're staying current.
So how long do you think it would take someone, or how long in your experience does it take someone to get to a point with their photos? Somebody comes in, let's say this someone is me, comes in with the photos and there's like 30 years, 35 years of photos,
mm-hmm.
which seems daunting. How
it doesn't
long did
just
it?
seem daunting. It is.
Yeah. So how long does it take for meaningful change to happen in that stack?
Well, we're basically going to ignore that stack. I'm going to say, what is the most recent set of media that you've taken?
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to say such and such in June,
mm-hmm.
or whatever. And that's the set you're going to start working with. And I have a 90-day blueprint, basically, that someone starts with. And they can go gangbusters and just, I mean, it just depends. And I've had clients literally take vacation weeks because they were that determined, literally.
That's a great idea, actually.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And just focus on, you don't have to, like if someone went, oh my gosh, there's no way I'm going to do this if I have to take a vacation week. No, you don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
That was their level of determination,
mm-hmm.
her level of determination. And you can, it doesn't take 90 days with that one set. You could have that organized in a book storied, in pages storied in a week. It just depends on your level of determination.
So this seems like for you, it's personal. It seems like it's more than, yeah. Do you care to say more about that?
Yeah, I think everything I've ever done, whether it's birth doula, working with kids to be included in an educational environment, and this, it's all been personal. And it all seems to, as I think about it, the thread running throughout is inclusion. And I was not very included when I started this business because I thought there was something wrong with me that I couldn't decorate pages. I mean, I graduated. I gave a speech when I got my master's degree. They asked me to. I mean, I'm not a dummy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and I just couldn't get around decorating pages. I finally did force myself once I started the business, but oh, geez Louise, it's like, why? The running thread through it is really inclusion. And as big a thread, I think, is being seen, because what I experienced as a child was not really being seen and making things up about what that meant. And even though, honest to goodness, my dad did such a better job raising me than he did, than he was raised.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was absolutely many levels improved. That's just how bad his childhood was.
Right.
That I was pretty unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And then getting into childhood education and realizing how much kids and how much grown kids need to know that they are seen and they belong. When February 2nd, 2003 hit, you know, I got mad. I got really mad because this was a tool that I could have been using in my parenting. I mean, like for real, that's so easy and so much more inexpensive. What has kept me going is knowing that what people tell me, that just like even last night, a class, she said, what you've shared with me, what you've taught me to do has changed my relationship with my grandson. And that's everything.
Can you pull one story from your memory bank? Because you've been in this business for 23-ish years?
24 years.
24 years.
July 5th. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Congrats.
Yeah. Thank you.
That's so great. Thank you. Yeah.
And I've basically, a lot of the time, been in my cave, hiding
mm-hmm.
out.
Mm-hmm.
So my business isn't anywhere near.
Oh, we don't do that here. We don't do that here.
Yeah.
You know better than that.
Yeah, that's true. But I, again, truly through your CBD, through just binging your podcasts, being in design to profit. It's really, yeah. I mean, I'm more in action than I've been, and I'm feeling less judgmental and more able to be visible than I've been. So it's really made a difference working with you, Vicky.
Good.
Really has.
I feel like you've had such a journey through your 3-5 profile. Just in the time that I've known you, it's been, I find it heartbreaking when my third line women, especially 3-5s, you know, 3-5s are my favorite, but that third line just gets such a rough go. feeling like you have to be perfect all the time. And you have the 2838 channel as well, that channel where you're going to bump up against life. You're going to make things a little more difficult than they need to be. I don't know. I see that sometimes. Is Barb making it harder than she needs to be?
No.
But it's,
no, let's start out as hard as I possibly can. And then.
But you always figure it out.
I do.
You always figure it out. Yeah. And yeah. So what I was asking for though, before you started like giving yourself a kick in the seat, was a story of someone in your memory bank in the last 24 years that is using a storybook, is using or has used a storybook.
Okay.
Ooh, she's got evidence.
This little book right here. This is actually a book that was made by a friend who is a big decorator in her books, and she really thought it was a substandard book, but she wanted to do something, put a book together very quickly for her four-year-old. Kim was about to have another baby. She wanted Paige to really hear how important she was in the family, how much she mattered. She wasn't being, you know, replaced, usurped, or anything. And so during one of Paige's two-hour naps, Kim put together this book.
Oh, wow.
And it's not traditionally storied, but it is storied on each page. It's just broken up around, which is great. And when Paige got up, she, this is the, just an example. It's all the little writing around that is the storying.
Yeah.
And she gave Paige the book, and Paige was so excited. Kim and Paige read the book. Kim said it was like every day, multiple times a day, all the time. Paige absolutely loved the book because Kim really showed Paige how much she was seen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and spoke directly to her and was very specific in what she noticed about Paige, what the family noticed. This is an absolute beautiful book.
Mm-hmm.
Beautiful book. And Kim was absolutely positive that it had served its purpose. When Paige was 9 years old, Kim noticed this book was not on the shelf. And Kim went looking for it. Kim found it underneath Paige's pillows. And that night when she was saying goodnight to Paige, Kim asked her about it, and Paige got teary-eyed and said that a new girl had come into her class and had taken all of her friends, and they had started making fun of her. And she was crying one night when she remembered how this book made her feel. She got out of bed. She got it, and she said, I've been reading it to myself every night to keep myself from crying. And I love this book, Mommy. Who knew? Kim had no idea that by writing the words that she wrote, had she given her a decorated book just with brief captions, would not have been the support that Paige needed. She did an easy, simple book like this. And, you know, Kim had no clue that 5 years later, it would be what would make the difference for Paige when she was being bullied. That's huge. Mm-hmm. And that's what writing, conscious writing, that's the difference that we can make. There's the potential.
And so how do people, you have a membership, people can work with you in different ways. And I'm tying this into this story. I'm not like switching topics on you, but people come into your world and you actually teach them this storying process in a way that's going to be easier for them to, rather than sitting at a blank page, and that's going to make a difference.
Correct. There are two avenues in, mm-hmm. two pathways. One is the Photo Rescue Lab, because most people come to me not having a clue about storying.
Mm-hmm.
They have no idea other than the fact that maybe they've attended my challenge, they've heard me talk about it online, and they have that much of a clue. But before that, they didn't. So they come to me and they say, Barb, I do want to learn that, but I can't do anything until I have control of my photos. Mm-hmm. So then they jump into the Photo Rescue Lab. And that they get control of their photos, they got this process, it becomes like an assembly line. And then they can jump into the storying training. It's storying training,
mm-hmm.
to learn that and then up level what they're writing on these pages. Or if someone says, I don't need the lab. I'm perfectly happy with what I'm doing on my pages. I just want my family to say more than great job, mom or dad, because this is not gender specific. And then they rarely ever look at the pages again. I want to add meaning to my pages. And then they'll go straight into the storying pathway. Mm-hmm. So there are two things.
Okay. I've just kept writing notes here because I was just jotting down things as you were talking. So it's so beautiful to me how you are using your projectorness in this business, because a lot of the wounding, so we know that a lot of our wounds are our lessons in life, and a lot of the wounding on projectors typically is feeling unseen and unheard, mm-hmm. because they've been passed over, their work's been stolen, whatever the experience has been of life. So here you are using these lessons that you've had mm-hmm. to help others feel seen and heard. And also, projectors are built for processes and systems. So people come into your world and it's like, whammo, you hit them with the process and the system.
Exactly.
And it's like, don't worry about anything else. Just follow this and they're good.
Yeah.
So talk to me about your challenge. Was this always something that you did in your business, a challenge in your launches?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just designing it now. I did a 5-day, which was me pouring in to people for 5 days strategically. Mm-hmm. And then the attendees would have something to do, an action to take. And right now I'm designing what I think will be a 3-day reset, a photo rescue reset, and that I'm really wanting to be interactive. But what I'm waiting for is your challenge. I want to see what
am
you
I having a challenge? Okay. Yeah. So that's something that we talk about a lot in Design to Profit is over-delivering in these types of containers like a challenge, because so many times entrepreneurs will go start a challenge. I mean, every single launch, I have way too much on the plate. I only deliver half of it. It's still too much. Mm-hmm. I think that's been your experience as well, where we just want to give so much value to people, but they can only take in so much. They can only eat so much at a buffet. So it's really fine tuning that challenge process for how we're going to serve people well, leave them hungry enough for something else, and give them a win.
Yeah.
So how do people win when they come into, I know you're waiting on a challenge, but when they come into a challenge, what types of things do they do with you?
Well, one would think that I would jump into, let's make a page, let's do this, let's do that. But my 24 years have taught me that until we decondition all of the beliefs, doing that is just spinning our wheels. It's really, like I said, a deconditioning. So I see this challenge, especially the first day, really looking at the beliefs that have sabotaged, that have kept us from doing what we've wanted to do with our photos. And then I can't remember the other 2 days right now, but it kind of all plays into, and I think I'm giving an experience. I just can't remember what it is, but it's different than what someone might think because, well, of course you would, you know, just start doing a page, doing this, doing that. That doesn't work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't work. It's got to be a total deconditioning. And so that's the experience of, and that's what my clients who came in from the original photo rescue taught me as well, that they came in because I, bless their hearts, they let me interview them. Mm-hmm. They came in because they started believing that it can be done differently, mm-hmm. that what has stopped them in the past has been not them, but outside forces.
Okay, so I have a little bit of a, not necessarily a pushback, but just a kind of,
okay.
I not a pushback at all. It's just, I want you to expand on this. I find it so fascinating. We have lots of conversations together because we're in Design to Profit together. You've been through CBD. We spend lots of time in the room together.
I'm your stalker.
It's so interesting though. I've never heard anyone talk about photos and beliefs. And you're like hell-bent on a mission to change this for people, because I don't think people know sometimes that they have a belief that's holding them back in photos. Like, what do we think is going to happen with these photos? We have them in tote boxes. We have them in albums. We have them wherever we have them on our phones. thousands and thousands of photos on our phones that nobody's ever going to do anything with those photos unless they work with you. What beliefs, how did you come across that it's actually beliefs, and what beliefs do you see?
Literally, my 24 years have paid off. I mean, I've just
third line.
Pardon me?
Third line.
Yeah. And I mean, my clients have been amazing. They have given me so much interview time. So much. I don't have to do any guessing. And I narrowed down that there are five main beliefs that people have. And even so much so that there's a smaller group that will say, Barb, I never believed I had to decorate pages or do any of that stuff. That didn't stop me. I just didn't think about doing anything. And that's because the belief there is there's no point. Why? I mean, they're just photos. They're just photos. And they would just be a hobby. And it's so that's one of the five beliefs. That was the one that kind of stymied me, because I would have people say, Barb, you talk about these, you know, that you're trying to make the tools that you already paid money for work. You're determined to make those work. Well, that's not me, Barb. You know, you're saying that I've been stopped because I think I have to decorate. No, I don't. And that stymied me for a little bit, but I talked with enough people that I realized, oh, got it.
Yeah.
It just doesn't matter.
Yeah. My name is Vicki, and I feel this belief in my heart.
Yeah. It just doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know it matters, but it just didn't matter to me until having you in my world. Yeah. This is like a little bit of a sideline, but it's a story you'll appreciate. So my son and his wife just had a baby, Joe, and she had asked me, they seemed to be like on this mission. They wanted like to take a trip down memory lane. They were feeling nostalgic. Joe was 2 weeks overdue, in air quotes. And so like they're sitting around waiting on this baby. What are they going to do? So I started to take over some of Sam's keepsakes. And one of the boxes that we found was a tote box, because all of our photos had been organized in these like those fancy like Michael's kind of shoe boxes that used to get. And it toppled over in the garage. So now we have like, yeah, it's wild. And so it's all in tote boxes. And we were going through them all. And Sam's wife said she doesn't have one thing of her childhood. She has no pictures. She has no baby books. She has no nothing. And it just like, I can tell you're like almost mad about it, but it was kind of heartbreaking. Like she really wanted to be able to take that trip down memory lane. And she doesn't have this. It feels like a missing piece. And now I think like for Samuel, well, if I could get some of that stuff together or start fresh and get the stuff together now, it really does make a difference for people when they have that. Even she's not a child, but she is missing something important to her.
And maybe her parents didn't put that together because they just didn't realize
the
difference it could make.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, I'm sure it wasn't malicious. It's just, but she feels
the loss.
Well,
don't be so sure.
She feels the loss.
I have a few stories that would
interesting.
Beg to differ on that one, but
interesting. Yeah. Okay. So I just want to bring our listeners up to a few things that you said, up to speed on a few things that you said. So if you're listening in right now, Barb said some really important things for you and your business that I would love for you to walk away with and knowing how important it is. So Barb said she has interviewed her clients and she has all of this market research, which is something that many entrepreneurs resist, market research. They feel like for some reason it's a dirty word, but it is the best thing. A phrase that Barb used was, I'm not guessing. She knows exactly what her clients want and need, and she's able to deliver it. The other thing is with you unpacking these beliefs for your clients, beliefs are where the objections live. So when you can bust those beliefs in your content, in your messaging, you can then break down those objections without having to have an argument with somebody, without having to make someone wrong. You're just addressing these all the time in all of the work that you do. Powerful.
May I add one more thing?
Yes, absolutely.
Sometimes people come to me saying, all I want to do is create a legacy. That's all I want to do is create a legacy. And do you know the very best way to create a legacy that someone will actually care about?
I think you're going to tell me.
It's to work current. Working current will have you creating the proverbial you, creating meaningful pages that will tell people about you in a way that matters to them, mm-hmm. in a relational way. Mm-hmm. And doing that with your backlog is not going to be very easy. Mm-hmm. I think some things can be pulled in when that's the focus, but going forward, creating a legacy, working current is really the richest and easiest way to do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even if you never touch the backlog,
yeah,
if you had the current stuff. So Barb is saying this because she and I kind of butt heads on this legacy piece. See, if you could have seen her smirk, if we had a video for this, you'd see her smirk here with this. But it's so true that, you know, going through that tote box of photos, my husband, we had it sitting in the living room for a few months, and he just every night would take out a handful and look at the handful of photos. And there are people in there that we have no idea who they are. Uh-uh. There are people in there, it's like two generations. You're lucky if it's two generations. Mm-hmm. And people can identify who's in the photos. So, yeah, it's just such a gift to have these stories to be able mm-hmm. to pass down. Yes, to use mm-hmm. now, but also for that child, because you don't know what the future holds. Like any of us could be hit by a bus tomorrow. Right. And then that grandchild or child doesn't really have a record of you and how you felt about them.
Mm-hmm. What you saw in them.
Yes. Yeah.
You know, the things that mattered. One of the things I teach in the storying course is how important it is to be able to express feelings, mm-hmm. to be able to access them and express them. And I found that to be a real challenge. and so I'm helping with that. But I've just discovered this week something that feelings are still very, very important, but it's really the N word that is the most important. And it's noticing. Mm-hmm. Taking the time to notice mm-hmm. and then get that into the program right mm-hmm. away so that you have access to it for the pages.
Yeah.
Noticing is, I mean, I would say here's noticing. Feelings are real close.
Yeah.
But noticing is a biggie.
Yeah.
And I think that's what the wonderful Fred Rogers excelled at, was noticing.
And so many times it's like, it's not the great big things that you really want to story. Mm-hmm. It's the little tiny moments that you really want to capture that we miss. And if we don't capture them, they're gone.
That's one of the I just made another discovery 2 weeks ago that will make storying so much easier for my clients. Mm-hmm. And literally in the moment, if someone sees something, they literally can do it, can record it and attach it to an image right away. Mm. And I was inordinately excited. It was like, okay, Barb, it's a good thing. No, you don't understand.
Yeah. Well, you must have seen a lot of things in 24 years.
Yeah.
Even advances in technology that make your work, wouldn't say more possible, but like, yeah. There must be a lot added to your work in the last 24 years. Yeah.
The only thing that I would say about that would be, one would think that AI is a huge advancement for this. And I have found that AI I've tried programming it. I've worked with people to program a custom GPT. It does not, even though I'm doing awesome programming.
Mm-hmm. Excellent at technical stuff. Yeah, excellent.
I know how to do prompts that mm-hmm. are just, it can't get to the heart of things.
Yeah.
So I, you know, as much as I would love to create a custom GPT to help mm-hmm. people with this, no.
Yeah.
Do what you know, use AI to maybe augment something. You went to Italy, you were at a basilica, and there was something you can't remember that you wanted to remember. Go ask chat or whomever. And if you see it there and it reminds you, use that. But do not use everything that it says, because then you're going to put boring reports in on those mm-hmm. pages. Mm-hmm. And that's not what this is about.
Yeah.
That's not what this is about.
It feels like the nemesis of the work that you do.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah. And there are lots of scrapbook experts that are saying to use AI.
Really?
And yes, but they don't get they don't understand what Storyin is. Mm-hmm. They truly, in their heart of hearts, believe the captions mm-hmm. are Storyin. Mm-hmm. And they absolutely are the antithesis of Storyin.
So what are you most excited about in 2026 in your business?
Well, I am so excited. In August, I am teaching a beta version of the strategic Storyin, which is a step beyond Storyin. Mm-hmm. And it's for parents and grandparents. Mm-hmm. And honest, this is the culmination of my 24 years. Mm. This is the whole reason. This course is the whole reason that I put the lab together, mm-hmm. that I did the Storyin foundations. This course to help parents and grandparents truly connect with the people they care about for their benefit and for their own benefit. The health benefits are outstanding for everybody. This is, and that starts August 3rd. And the prerequisite is having been in the Storyin Foundations because it builds on that. Mm-hmm. And so I've got this wonderful group who already did the Storyin Foundations and they're starting this coming
next
Monday.
Yeah.
We actually did a refresher last night with them and it was just exhilarating. Mm-hmm. A refresher on the Storyin Foundations. Yeah. And I'm really excited, really mm-hmm. excited about this.
Yeah, and I can tell.
Over the top, I know, but I'm really excited.
Yeah, that's okay. You get to be over the top. Yeah. So yeah. Putting business hat on for a second here, why beta?
Because I want to be able to ask some questions mm-hmm. and evolve the course before I release it to the public.
Yeah,
I want to be able to ask them a lot of questions and do a, again, I'm going to be doing an interview at the end with everybody so that, again, I can evolve it. I've got a lot of experiential things built in mm-hmm. to the course. And, you know, did this work? Did this not? How did you feel about it? Okay, I just made it sound like it would be really time consuming. It's a 2-question survey.
Yes.
After each class.
Yeah.
The question number 1 is multiple choice.
Okay.
Question number 2 is simple, short answer.
Yeah.
And then there's a third one that is there anything else you want Barb to know? Right. So it's not like a college course. It's simple. And then we'll do like a 15-minute debrief. So it's just I'm asking a lot. But I also gave the option to not join at this level and just sign up for it, do it however you want to do it. Mm-hmm. And that's a higher price point.
Right. Yeah. I love that you brought us back to that it's a 2-question survey, because I feel like a lot of times entrepreneurs think they're going to run a beta and they're going to, you know, give people 10 questions to answer every module or something. Mm-hmm. And like, you have to make it really, mm-hmm. really, really just like the least amount that you can possibly get away with, because what do we call that? Low bite. You know, people just want to be able to answer quickly on the go.
Right.
And then we often do a beta when we are coming up with a new offer. So even though Barb has been at this for probably longer than anyone in her industry, she is still going to offer a beta because it's a new offer. So mm-hmm. she's going to offer that, get all the feedback, make it super, super juicy so that when she launches it for real, mm-hmm. you know that it's the everything that you want it to be. And we miss things because the plight of the expert. We're so used to our own stuff that mm-hmm. we don't know what people need to know sometimes.
So I teach something, but I miss this whole step.
Yeah, because you're so used to doing it. Yeah.
And this means too much to me. I want people to, and it's 4 classes and 3 implementation workshopping sessions mm-hmm. so that these attendees can really hone their skills, not just be in the course, not just be in the classes and then, okay, good luck. See ya. Don't want to be, you know,
does anybody come into your world and be like, see ya? You tend to keep people for a while, don't you?
Yeah. A long time.
Yeah. They attach themselves to you.
Yeah. They're friends.
Yeah.
They're at this point, they're friends. Yeah.
Yeah. That dormant gate 27 mama bear is always calling them to you. Yeah.
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 Yeah. I've been lucky that way.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of people outside of this, you know, tell me how I'm doing everything wrong. And
Tip your 3-5 hat to them.
people in the industry, you know, it's all wrong. We don't want to hear what you have to say, Barb.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine.
And is it fine or does it ever cut?
It used to cut.
Okay.
But I really think in the last year, I've just, maybe it's longer than a year, but would I love to have some business buddies who teach what I teach?
Yeah.
But everyone is very, very conditioned into the scrapbooking. And don't get me wrong, there are people who want in to what I'm doing. But I'm very protective because until I was teaching this storying pathway, I didn't want to send people mixed messages, my clients mixed messages. And so I've been very protective. But when I'm asked to speak and train for the, I absolutely do that and I share. And I always get great feedback.
Yeah, of course.
So cool. Wow.
Yeah. But, yeah. Yeah. Recognition.
But it's almost always, oh, that's so cool. And then they can add the decorations after.
Gosh, your fifth line is dying.
They can, but why would they want to? Oh, anyway.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. So while you are missing business besties in your industry, you, I think, have found some business besties in my community, Design to Profit.
Right.
In fact, actually, one of the other interviewers, well, I'm sure you'll be listening, but she says, I love Barb. Barb's my favorite. Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
I'm somebody's favorite?
You're somebody's favorite. Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah. So cool. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
That's so nice.
Yeah. Well, people love you. Barb's just going to sit with that one.
some people do, and other people, I irritate the daylights out of them.
Oh,
because they'll say, like what I just said about why bother decorating. Why do you say that, Barb? Well, because why bother when you have so much to say that could really help someone when they're being bullied or who knows what.
But that's that visionary leadership in your fifth line coming through. You know, you've had the experience with clients, you're bringing it through, showing up in visionary leadership, offering practical solutions, sometimes being the heretic, calling people on their shit. It lands where it lands.
And I will tell you that in these 24 years, I have tried it that way. I honestly did. I've gone through phases where it was like, okay, I will be softer with what I'm talking about. And if you want to decorate, you just do that. It didn't go well.
No.
The people who are my people, it was like, what? Huh? What? So then I guess I do need to keep decorating like I was told. I've evolved as in response to what I've heard from my clients, that when I'm wishy-washy, it doesn't give them the support that they need, that my client needs. Not everybody, but my client, they need me to take a stand, even if it costs me, and I'm criticized for it by my colleagues. I do need to take a stand. And so I hope anyone who's listening, you won't think 24 years ago, I started this way. I absolutely did not. I'm where I am right now is in response to what I've observed and I've experienced in these 24 years. And that is when I'm softer, when I'm more compromising, when I'm more whatever, I let my clients down. I let them down. So I'm willing to put myself on the line and be the stand for why decorate, add your words.
And Barb is a 3-5 emotional projector, as we've said. So that fifth line, it's got to call people on that. And like you're saying, you bring your people to you. And it doesn't matter if you're fifth line or not. So many of us as entrepreneurs have learned to soften, have learned to temper ourselves, have learned to be palatable. And we've got to, especially in this, whatever this shit show of a new world that we're moving through right now is, because our people can only hear us when we are ourselves. And Barb also has a defined will, which we didn't talk about in this conversation, but you're not going to serve anybody by being soft. That's for sure.
And I tried it. I promise you, I tried it.
Yeah.
It did not work.
Yeah. So the community in Design to Profit, do you, how do you do there? Do you like it there? Do you, I was trying not to ask a yes or no question. Then I asked one, sorry.
Well, I hope I made it clear throughout how
Yeah.
valuable Design to Print.
Design to Print.
Okay. One of the programs that I teach is called it's called Design to Print, I think. Anyway, so that's where I keep going. Design to Profit.
Mm-hmm.
How valuable Design to Profit has been, and CBD. And when I had to wait to get into CBD, and you finally released Design to Profit, I jumped in right away because
you were the first one. I forgot that.
Yes,
yeah.
yes, because I found a back door.
Yeah.
and I wasn't sorry. It was a lifeline until we got into CBD.
Mm-hmm.
And so having that continued support from you, as well as the community, has been pivotal.
Mm-hmm.
Pivotal. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what do you think is the, or what would you say, what are your favorite calls? What are your favorite like features? I know. So we have hot seats, we have business trainings, we have co-working sessions, we have, what else do we have? There's one, copy calls.
Copy calls, because I was in CBD, I have the option of being in the copy calls.
Right.
So I would say that my favorite, let's see, probably it's between the hot seats and the copy calls.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Those two are my all-time favorite.
Okay. Yeah. My favorite are the copy calls. I feel like a lot of times if you're in the hot seat, a lot of what we are doing is simplifying things, because that 2838 channel of yours wants to just overcomplicate it a little bit. And then it's always like, oh, this could be easy, you know?
And isn't that fascinating? Because that's my whole programs are simplified.
Of course.
You know,
of course.
But yes, I did start out by going from the most complicated to then simplifying it.
Yeah. We teach what we need to learn, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But well, I do. I mean, it's, you know, gosh, if you want to make it hard, go to Barb.
But not as a consumer. Barb is harder on herself,
right.
But not for her, for her people.
Right.
She'll simplify it for you. Yeah.
Yeah. My whole shtick is let's get rid of the minutia. Let's do what really is important and matters as inexpensively as possible.
Oh, how refreshing.
Yeah. So, well, I've got, for one of my programs, there's one set of templates that someone would need to invest in, not 63,000.
Yeah. Yeah.
One set.
Yeah.
Period.
So where can people find you to get into your world?
Well, let's see. a little in transition. Probably right now the best place would be my website, mm-hmm. which is just my name, barborozco.com.
Okay.
That's OROZCO.com.
Or Zed if you're in Canada.
Or Zed. Right.
And I will put that in the show notes for people. And I love that you said, I know we're wrapping up, but I want to ask one more thing.
Mm-hmm.
Because I love that you said in transition. And I would love to normalize for people how often we are in transition in our businesses, because people seem to have a notion that they're going to get to some point in the future where everything is going to be perfect in their business, mm-hmm. and they're not going to have to touch it. And I've mm-hmm. never worked with an entrepreneur who's that has been the case for. You've pivoted a few times in 24 years?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, mm-hmm. I do. And I actually have worked with entrepreneurs who, like coaches, mm-hmm. who thought, this is it, and I don't need to ever change anything. And that's not someone a person would want to work with.
Yeah.
Because that's just not how it works.
No, that's not real life.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. So once Barb updates and has a challenge ready or something else ready, I will add that to the show notes for you. But for now, you're going to go to her website to get in her world, and that will be in the show notes for you.
So wonderful.
Thank you for being here.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Vicki.
You're very
it's been
welcome.
Wonderful. Appreciate you very much.
Same. I appreciate you right back.